2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I thought you said we were ready. I mean, if you're going to tell me,
trigger.
I'm ready.
Quick trigger there.
Hey. This is very different from the times where you go, hey, man, I said we're back. And I go, I know.
Fair point.
Okay.
Do you guys need therapy? You need to talk this out together?
I'll look at his signature and I'll figure out if he's a good person or not. That's what I'm going to do. We have to submit all of our signatures here at the Zone and see if anybody here at the KSL Sports Zone, give us your signature here. We're going to do all the talent. Be like, do a full like.
He's a narcissistic sociopath.
I think you might get that. Well, sociopath's a bit much. That's
some folks here that are a bit much too. I mean, you know.
Oh my gosh, I don't think anybody qualifies with a personality disorder like narcissism. But man, we're close. Man, we're close. We might have some real candidates. Get that DSM-5 out. Start reading about whether or not what people's personalities
like,
are.
There's like type 2 diabetes, and then there's pre-diabetes. We're in the pre-stage of being sociopaths.
Doctors all, hey, I didn't like those numbers. Yeah. Didn't like those numbers. Let's figure it out. Let's jump into the program here with the cut at the top of the hour, and we're glad to have Jake Shapiro back here with us, so let's get to it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, our program, as usual, brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. The G2G Bar, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Tons of protein. Jake Shapiro joining us from DenverSports.com. Jake, I think the last time that you joined us, you said some real inflammatory stuff about Colorado, and man, it took things to another level. I don't think it was inflammatory, but it was really fun to watch the people go after you said that Coach Prime wasn't long for Boulder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you guys. Like, I'm long for Boulder. I grew up there. I'm gonna be there the rest of my life, most likely. We all know Deion Sanders has his eyes on other things. Like, that's not a surprise. It's not a shocking statement. Anyone that's been caught up in the midst of Deion Sanders and thinking this is a long-term project for CU isn't seeing what this is. It's a transactional thing in a land full of mercenaries that is college football. Deion Sanders is the mercenary Colorado has hired to reinvigorate this program, and he's bringing in a team of mercenaries, his transfers, to help reinvigorate the Buffs. Like, that's what's going on here at face value.
Some folks out there think it's a bit much in his overhaul of the transfer portal. What's your sense on this about how he's really cleaned house, I guess, is maybe the best way to take it or to say it.
So minute one, he comes into a bunch of college football kids and into their clubhouse, their locker room, and says, "Hey, I'm bringing my Louis. So if you ain't fitting in, you got to get out. You know, if you ain't getting in, you ain't fitting in. You getting out," type deal. You know, that's a little abrasive on the surface. You have to also keep in mind, in Deion's mind, and also in the stat sheet and in the record book, this was a team full of losers. A lot of guys transferred right away, and he brought in a lot of better players, and everyone was a fan of that. There are plenty of players who stuck around into spring ball that were players worth keeping around, guys that had proven it at the Pac-12 level. You guys in Utah might know Jordan Tyson. He finished Pac-12 all-freshman team. Montana Lamonius Craig was a really good player for Colorado. Yeah. Like, even on bad teams, there are good players. After the spring game, Deion Sanders once again told the University of Colorado's football team, their locker room, in not so specific terms, and it was either relayed to from directly him or from the assistant coaches on his staff, "Hey, you guys got to get out of here. You guys are losers," more or less. So basically, it's been a little bit shocking because these are kids, and some of them are going to lose degrees from an amazing institution at the University of Colorado right before they were supposed to graduate, and they're going to have to go somewhere else now. Some of them were possible contributors to this team, but it's all with Deion's motto of getting his guys. You can agree or disagree with it, but that's what's happening.
Let's transition into some basketball. The Denver area just must be insane right now. The first trip to the finals for the Nuggets. Where's everybody at right now? It finally happened. It seemed like it was just a matter of time, but man, they were good all regular season, and it really hasn't turned off this offseason.
No, they've been fantastic into the playoffs. They've only lost, at this point, three games. They're 12-3 in the playoffs. They haven't lost at home either. They've been fantastic. I mean, guys, you want to know how much I called my shot on this? I'm planning my wedding for this summer. I told my fiance that we couldn't get married until after June because the Nuggets would win a title this year. That was last year I told her that. Yeah.
Look at you.
So I love how you're more committed to the Nuggets than you are to your new marriage, though. That's amazing.
Hey, man, she's a big Nuggets fan. I said, "Listen, babe, if the Nuggets are playing a game in the finals while we're getting married, I'm sorry, but I'm not paying attention." And she's like, "You know what? Neither would I." So we were on the same page on that one. That's why we're a good team. But the reason the Nuggets are such a good team is because they've built this. It hasn't been bought. They've been building this for a couple years, and a lot of people are saying, "Oh, the title window is opening now, and this is great for the Nuggets and all that." The title window has been open for a couple of years. It was slammed shut by Jamal Murray's ACL injury, but it's been open since about 2020. And right now we're seeing what was supposed to be this team over the last few years, which has just been robbed of that because of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., who is the third best player on the Nuggets, those injuries. So the city is just on fire for this team. What people don't realize maybe outside of Denver is this is the second oldest franchise we have. The Denver Nuggets have been around since 1967. They've never gotten to a championship final series in the NBA. The last time they did that was when they were in the ABA and they lost to Dr. J. So this is really building basketball fans and basketball in Denver. And you're seeing all the meatheads nationally in the media try to wrap their heads around the Nuggets being this close to a championship because this simply isn't supposed to happen to organizations like the Nuggets.
You mentioned Jamal Murray being healthy, and the Nuggets have. They've been very good the last few years. Is that the only reason? I mean, what is the what's changed this year that's been different in past years?
Murray's fantastic, no doubt. You've also had Aaron Gordon, who was acquired after that 2020 bubble, and right before Jamal Murray went down, you had eight games where Murray and Gordon were on the court together. It was the best basketball I'd ever seen by the Nuggets up until now. And they found the perfect guy to play next to Nikola Jokic in the front court. So we saw some of that, and now we're seeing the fruits of that labor again a couple years later now that Murray's healthy. You've also supplemented that move with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who won a championship in 2020 with the Los Angeles Lakers, who is just an incredible 3-and-D player. He's hit some huge shots, carried the Nuggets at times in that Western Conference Final Series, and he's also been their point of attack defender, the guy that gets into the other team's guards, makes life tough for them. And they also added Bruce Brown this offseason, who's, I mean, to call him a 3-and-D player would be, I guess, a slight against him because he does so many more things. He's just so versatile. He's also become their backup point guard, which has been an amazing development because that's not what was supposed to happen. So they've added some pieces around the periphery to Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. that have just fit in seamlessly. And quite honestly, guys, they haven't really been hurt this year. Every other team has had things go against them, and it just seems like everything that goes wrong in the NBA with other teams somehow has a positive break for the Nuggets, like the Bucks losing that 8-1 series to Miami. There's just a countless number of things that have happened around the NBA that have broken right for the Nuggets this year.
Jake Shapiro joining us from DenverSports.com. You can read his byline there. Covers all things Denver sports related and in the periphery as well. Is Nikola Jokic getting the respect that he deserves, or is that even, like, in my mind, I'm going, when you win two MVPs in a row and then finish second in the MVP race to some very deserving good basketball players, like, is he really being slighted, or is that a little bit made up?
Yeah, it depends on by who. Is he being slighted by the national basketball writers and locally and by fans? No, not really. I think people know that this guy, I think undisputed, is now the best player in the sport. Like, it's really hard to make an argument against Nikola Jokic. But you look at some of the things in the conversations on ESPN prior to this Lakers series, even after it, and there seems to be a lack of understanding for his greatness and the appreciation for his greatness. You just look at how the series was talked about from the broadcasters on ESPN and ABC, and it was clear that there was some bias against him or the way that basketball is being played there. You even hear this morning, you've got Chris Mannix, the Sports Illustrated guy, calling the Denver Nuggets boring and saying Nikola Jokic isn't particularly interesting. So, you know, there is a lot of respect for Nikola Jokic. But it's not quite the same respect, you know, maybe the greatest player in the game would get on a normal team if he was playing in New York. But also, Jokic hasn't had some of the same pressures, at least until this year, that one of those guys would have.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love his style of play. I think it's so beautiful. I think it's just amazing how he's so patient about letting the game come to him and just involving all the people around him. You know, he's unstoppable as a player, you know, one-on-one. And I mean, just... I mean, his game is just beautiful to me. How important has it been? How much of an impact has it been? Where you mentioned that the Nuggets are 12-3, and so they've really kind of handled their series. They've got a pretty decent rest here. What does this rest mean to them? Is it too much? Is it enough? Has it been good to kind of have some breaks?
Well, it's interesting because if the Lakers. If the Heat win tonight, they'll have 6 days of rest as well. So what's an extra 3 days at that point? It's not that unusual to get 9 days of rest in the season. It happened at the All-Star break for the Nuggets. I think they had like a 6-day off streak at one point as well, early on, and maybe a second one later on. This year when the Nuggets have had two or three more consecutive days off and then have come back to that next game, they've been like a 45% three-point shooting team, like just an absurd number. So like game one, I'm telling you already, the Nuggets are going to come out hammering. They did this in the Phoenix series too. If you go back to the Phoenix series, they were amazing in the first quarter in game one against Phoenix, and that was after they had like 5 or 6 days off from the Minnesota series. So I'm not too concerned with this team getting that rest. They've stayed locked in, and quite honestly, the 9 days, it's enough time for them to have a couple days to celebrate this amazing accomplishment of getting to the NBA Finals, get locked back in, and then worry about the Miami Heat, who's likely their opponent. So I think the rest is going to be beneficial at the end of the day, especially considering now that this series on the other side is also going a little bit deeper.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I think about every time Jamal Murray is interviewed after a game, it seems like he goes, hey, six more. And he's talking about the number to the finals,
right,
to win the finals. And so he'll go, hey, six more. When they went up, 2-0 on the Lakers, it was, hey, six more, five more, four more, right? And so these guys have it locked in. And I think the benefit of being able to watch these other teams, and there's something to be said about the kind of, I mean, Nikola Jokic's chilled out nature can't help but be amazing, I think, for this time of year when you've got a bunch of young guys who've never been in this situation before. And even though he hasn't either, he just feels like, I mean, I think that he'd be kind of that calming force for these guys in the locker room. Does he have that effect, or is he more of an isolated dude?
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, just before I even reach the Jokic thing, KCP won a title. He's in their starting five. Christian Brown is in their rotation. He won a national championship at Kansas last year. You've also got Jeff Green in that rotation, who's done literally everything in the NBA but win a title, and he's been in the finals before. And same as DeAndre Jordan, same situation as Jeff. So you have so much experience. And by the way, their head coach, Michael Malone, his dad, Brendan Malone, was a coach. Same for David Adelman and Ryan Saunders, their assistant staff. So they've got a bunch of guys who have been through almost everything in the NBA, and only one guy on their roster has actually come through with the ring. So I don't think it's as much of a Jokic needing to lead the horse to water type thing. I think everyone knows, you know. But to your point, yes. When you have a leader who is literally – and I was in Los Angeles. I'm walking by after the game, literally lifting weights, screaming the lyrics to Steve Miller Band's The Joker as he's lifting weights with his brother after game four. That attitude is just, it wears off on everybody. It's the same infectious attitude that the team has when it comes to passing because of their star player is doing it. And I talked to Aaron Gordon about this, and Aaron basically said, if Nikola Jokic is being unselfish, and he's the best player maybe in the world right now, what gives me the right to be selfish?
That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I love those players that just they kind of raise the level of everyone in the room, and that team basketball, you know, just it just wins out so many times. You mentioned the Miami Heat probable matchup. What does the matchup look like? How did the Nuggets match up against the Miami Heat?
Denver's 6-0 the last time they played the Heat. The last time the Heat beat the Nuggets, their roster was almost entirely different. The Nuggets just absolutely pound Nikola Jokic into Bam Adebayo, who I love Bam. He's an all-star. He's been great for Team USA. He's a fantastic player. But he's 6'8", 6'9". He's got nothing on 6'11", 280 Nikola Jokic. They have no one to guard Jokic, so this is just one of those series where you need Jokic to take the onus on himself. And yes, the passes will be there at some point. I'm sure he'll average, you know, 8-9 assists a game, but he needs to take a majority of the shots for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray, the only guy really on that roster who's going to be able to stay in front of him is Jimmy Butler. They have a great team defensive system, but not any individual great defender. And of course, Jimmy Butler scares the ever-living, you know what, out of you, because he's just such a high character and high-pressure performer. But we're talking about a team who is missing a 20-point-per-game guy, Tyler Hero, who might come back. But the X factor they have, ultimately, is Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he could coach circles around Michael Malone. So, you know, talent-wise, I would tell you if these 10 guys on each side with, you know, a bench on each side matched up and played a pickup game, the Denver Nuggets would win 9 out of 10 times. But because of the coaching, because of the schematics, this series has the potential to go 5-6 games. So, but I'm expecting to be celebrating a parade in Denver in the next few weeks, like I've been expecting for the last year. I'm expecting to go down to Miami and for the Nuggets to steal one in front of me. So, this is something that if, you know, you're in the region, and I know a lot of your people out there are Jazz fans, but there's some crossover. This is the time to be a Nuggets fan, because it might not ever get better than this moment here and in the next 10 days.
Whoa. There's no crossover here, all right? There's not a single Nugget fan in the greater Salt Lake City area. So we're going to quash all that.
Unfortunately, right? We have a few Laker fans we have to put
now
up
that,
with.
I wonder if you guys deal with that same thing. Do you guys have just like that just these diehard, not even relocated Lakers fans. Just at some point, bandwagon jumped, and here they are, because we get that here.
Well, and I know for you guys, you're getting transplants a little bit more now than, you know, we've had it for a little bit longer. We, of course, have all the East Coast guys. People come from Boston, and they're Boston sports fans, or Chicago, they're Chicago sports fans. But the weird ones here, like you're talking about with Lakers, and there's a lot of people from Los Angeles moving to Denver right now, but there's always been a ton of Lakers fans here. There have always been a ton of Yankees and Braves fans here in baseball. There have always been a ton of, like, Raiders fans here, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Wow, that's,
and there's
that's...
always been a bunch of Oregon Ducks fans here.
What? Huh. Oh my goodness! You guys are weirder than we are.
We feel sorry for you. You guys got it bad there. I have one question. Going back to Coach Prime in Colorado and the Pac-12 media rights deal is still kind of, you know, in the works. But now we're hearing some rumors that Colorado is very interested in heading to the Big 12. Now we know it's all rumors, but what do you hear over there? Is there any validity to that?
I think Colorado's looking for lifeboats at this point, guys. There's a reason why they left the Big 12 years ago. The Big 12 just culturally and from an academic standpoint does not align with what CU stands for as a school. I personally do not want them to go back to the Big 12. I'd rather take my road trips to lovely Salt Lake City and, you know, places like L.A. and Tempe rather than Manhattan, Kansas, and Stillwater or wherever the heck the Big 12 schools are now. And there's Big 12 schools all over the country. You have to remember, there's West Virginia now. I think Florida is going to be in the pack. So it's going to be a huge burden of travel. I think the goal for CU is to find a way into the Big 10. But I'm also really fascinated to see with college football playoff expansion, if it's really that imperative for Colorado to jump conferences despite the television rights deals. And you have to remember, and we're at the forefront of this here, and I know you guys have dealt with some of this with AT&T Sports Network is about to go under after the Rocky season. We've had two RSNs that have struggled here the last couple of years. So I think it's just a really hard time to judge what Colorado's doing. And if I were to advise them, I'd advise against making a rash decision right now because the climate is shifting so quickly.
Strong stuff. Yeah. I love it. Jake Shapiro, you can read his byline, denversports.com. And he covers all things Denver sports related. And you guys do a fantastic job there. Part of that Bonneville family. So we always love being able to dip in with you guys and getting that. So Jake, as usual, love it. We're going to chat with you again, I'm sure, this summer, man. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. It was nice seeing some of the Utah people in the office this week. So we'll chat. We'll probably – I hope to meet you guys one day, but we'll chat soon.
Yeah. Well, hey, look forward to that. You know what? We'll have you out this way. How about that? We'll show you around here and – because, you know, we'll do that thing. Yeah, this is the headquarters, man.
As long as Real Salt Lake stops just owning the Rapids. I mean, what was that? 2 and 4 days? That was ridiculous.
I think Real's fans are just as surprised as you are. So there you go. Jake, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks.
There you go. Jake Shapiro.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.